sweetheart, love of my life. She's my wife, by the way, friends. Love of my life. That's the prettiest girl I've ever seen sing. Aren't you glad? You know what I'm saying, friends? I'm glad the pastor feels that way about his wife. She's beautiful. Beautiful woman, inside and out. I praise the Lord for that. I continue to pray for her and that she doesn't turn out like her mother. No, I'm kidding about that back there. I'm kidding about that. Did that slip? I'm sorry that slipped out. I've got to preach and I just hinder the Lord there. You know what I'm saying? I hope not. We have a good time. Hey, she's going home with us again tonight. She's not going to fix supper, though, because I would not put it in my mouth. Not sure exactly what she'd have in it tonight, you know. Exodus chapter 25. We're going to finish the sermon that I began last Sunday on the candlestick. I do encourage you, if you were not here for this, I encourage you to go back and get it, download it off the internet, or you can call the church office and get it that way, because we're giving you part three to this message that I began last Sunday. This is part three to the message entitled, The Candlestick. Let's read this passage again in Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. Thou shalt make a candlestick, there's where we get our title, of pure gold. Beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. Six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch. Three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. In the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall give the light, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. The tongs thereof, the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Again, this is part three to the message that I've entitled, The Candlestick. Father, we love you tonight. I pray and thank you for the good music tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the offertory beautifully, beautifully done. Thank you, Lord, for the hymns that were sung, my wife that sang. Thank you for the good music all day long today. Pray that you'll bless in this service. Would you bless us now as we come to the reading and preaching of your word? Would you calm our hearts, quiet our hearts, and help us to hear the voice of God? Speak to us now, I pray. Please forgive my sin. Help me to be clean before you. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of this will be repeat till I get to where we left off. As we continue in this chapter... we're reminded of how the Lord is giving Moses instructions on how to make the tabernacle and the tabernacle furnishings. The tabernacle, again, was to be made as the place where God's presence would dwell among his chosen people. Now, this tabernacle, according to the Word of God, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that God can dwell among sinful people today. Now, in this chapter, we've studied already the introduction to the tabernacle, the making of the ark, and the making of the table of showbread. Now, we're currently studying the next piece, which is the candlestick, the golden candlestick. Now, there's several things that we're giving to you. Let me just bring you up to date to what we've already preached. First of all, the particulars of the candlestick. Let me go ahead and give this to you here. The first thing that we see here are the specifics of the candlestick, how it was made. This candlestick was of pure gold. It was beaten out of one piece of gold. It was to have one shaft in the middle of it with six branches, three coming out of each side of it, that made a total of seven candlesticks. There were three branches coming out of each side of the one center shaft. The shaft and the branches had bowls made like almonds, knops, and flowers upon them. There would be a total of seven lamps on this candlestick to give the needed light within the holy place. The utensils, which were the tongs and the snuff dishes, were of pure gold. We've already preached on those. I encourage you to go back and get that thought. The candlestick was of a talent of pure gold, which is said to be between 120 and 125 pounds. One man said the candlestick exhibited workmanship of the highest skill. Nothing like it has ever been done before or since. That's the particulars. Number two, we looked at the purpose of the candlestick, and it's a common sense purpose. It is to give needed light. Then we're under the third major topic, which is the pictures of the candlestick. The first one that we looked at was it pictures Jesus Christ alone, that this candlestick is the Lord. And several ways that we looked at that is that it was made of pure gold. That identifies him as pure deity. Interesting that the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of Showbread, the other two pieces that have been given so far, were made of shittim wood and gold. That pictures the God-man. The wood is his humanity. The gold is his deity. But when you come to the candlestick, he said, don't put any wood on it. Just make it of pure gold. See, it's time we understand, yes, Jesus is the God-man. But we also need to emphasize he is Almighty God. I mean, if he's not God, we are lost in our sin and we're going to burn in hell forever. If somebody's here tonight or somebody around the world and said Jesus was a good man, that's all he was, they are lost. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He is God. Somebody say amen right there, friends. That's enough to come to church for, just to be reminded of that. Secondly, it pictures Jesus Christ and it was beaten. The Bible says, take the piece of gold and beat it. That means hammer it out. Mold it by hammering. That's a picture of the beating that he took for our sin. Third, it represented perfection in that it had seven candlesticks. Fourth, it represented full power in that the seven candlesticks burning is a picture of the spirits of God around his throne and that he has all power that there ever is and ever will be. Five, it represented the resurrection in that the bowls being formed like almonds. I've already preached on this. You can go back and get it in detail. Six, it was the only source of light in the holy place. And seven, it was precious and valuable. Now we've come to major picture number two, which is where we began. I'll give you the first two that I've already mentioned, and then we're going to pick up with number three here. It also, this candlestick, yes, it pictures the Lord. But by means of application, if we apply this in another way, then it also can picture Christ and his people. Today, it's a picture of Christ and the church, Christ and the body of Christ. If you're saved today, this is a picture of you and him. This is what I'm saying. Now, I've already given you two ways that this is the case. Let me just tap them on the head, and we'll pick up with the third way that the candlestick pictures Christ and the church, Christ and his people tonight. First of all, which you've already preached, it was of one unified candlestick. It wasn't the branch and then later put into it. No, it was put into it at first. And may I say that salvation was God's idea in eternity past. Then we saw, number two, that the branch's purpose was the same as the shaft. That the branch's purpose was not another purpose other than the shafts. No, the branch's purpose was the same purpose as the shaft. The shaft is a picture of Christ here. Stands tall on everything else. The branch is coming out of the side. He's the vine. We're the branches, if you will. And his purpose is also the purpose of the branches. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I'm here for the same reason that Jesus Christ came. His purpose is to shine light. His purpose is to be a shining light in a dark world. His purpose is to come and seek and save that which was lost. May I say this to you? My purpose is, it should not be my purpose. My purpose is the shaft's purpose. I'm to do the same thing that the shaft does. That's my purpose. I've already preached on it. Number three, we start right here tonight, okay? Here's the third way that the candlestick pictures Christ and his people, Christ and the church, Christ and you if you're saved tonight. Number three. The shaft was more adorned than the branches. You say, what do you mean? Well, in verse number 34, notice this, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. Now, here's the point. If you read about the branches, the six branches, the three that are coming out of each side, you'll notice that every one of those six branches were to have three bowls with a knop and a flower. But when you come to the center shaft, it was to have four. Now you say, what's the point here? The point here is when you apply this to Christ as the shaft and the branches as his people, the point is we see the prominence and the preeminence of the Lord pictured over his children here. Now one man put it well, listen to this. Their central part, talking about the candlestick, their central part was therefore more adorned and would in consequence rise to a greater height than the side branches, though of the same fashion with them and formed out of the same mass of beaten gold. Here we have another aspect of truth presented to us in type respecting the blessed Lord as himself head of the body of which he's the origin and taking his place in the church as one in the midst of his fellows at the same time that he is as the shaft or the pillar on which it all depends. Now get this. Thus he is the branch in the midst of the branches, yet more glorious, more lofty, higher. For in all things he hath the preeminence. In the midst of his fellows, yet anointed with oil of gladness above his fellows. Psalm 45 verse 7. A man in the midst of men, yet fairer than the children of men. The chiefest of 10,000, the altogether lovely one. Get this, there is oneness in the candlestick. God has made us with him one. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are one with him, and yet he's preeminent. There's similarity, yet superiority. You say, Jody, I don't quite understand what you're getting across. Stay with me here, because I'm not done explaining this point. One man put it this way, it's significant that the branches are in the sides of the candlesticks and not in the front of it. God said when you make it, make the branches come out of the sides of it. Don't make it where it comes out of the front. Now what's the point here? Because there was to be nothing to block the view of the shaft. Believers must get out of the way and give Christ the place of prominence. This is what John the Baptist did when he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Paul's desire was for Christ to be magnified, whether it be in his body, whether it be by life or by death, Philippians 1:20. See, the branches on the side of the candlestick made the shaft central. When you looked at the candlestick, you would naturally look at the tallest one. You'd naturally look, now it's beautiful, it's all giving light, but the branches, when they're coming out of the side, it's almost like they're saying, look here. The point is that Christ is in the midst of his people. By the way, that's where he desires to be. And may I say this? This is where he deserves to be. And let me say this to you. The bottom line, now get this. The bottom line is without the center shaft, the branches could not stand upright. You remove the center shaft and the candlestick falls to pieces. Now friends, listen to me. We are nothing without the center shaft. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. May I say this to you? We don't like hearing that. Human beings think that they're something. You know, I was telling a Sunday school class this morning, something along this line, when troubles hit our life and so on, sometimes when somebody mistreats us or they says something against us and so on, we start getting angry, we start getting bitter. But the fact of the matter is, friends, when somebody mistreats you and you get mad and you get angry and you get bitter, you're thinking too highly of yourself. And so am I. Because if I truly get what I deserve, I'll be burning in hell for all eternity. Anything outside of hell is the grace of God and the mercy of Almighty God. One man said it this way, am I sorry because I'm entirely depending on my Savior? On the contrary, there's no happier life than the branch life. I need not try to find nourishment for myself. The vine's responsible for that. I need not try to hold myself up. The vine carries the branch. He's the shaft. We are privileged to be a part of him. Amen. We are privileged to be part of Jesus Christ. That's an honor. That's a privilege. However, never let us think too highly of ourselves. Let us realize he is the preeminent one. He is to be given the place of prominence. And without him, we have nothing that holds us in place. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So number three, we see it pictures Christ in the church and that the center shaft was more adorned than the branches. It stood taller. It had more boles upon it. And even though we are part of Christ, that's a blessing. We are not above Christ. He's above us. And he is preeminent. He is prominent. Number four, the fourth thing that we see, a way that it pictures Christ and his people, Christ and the church, is the priest needed the light of the candlestick to serve. They needed that light to serve God. Now let me explain this. Look at verse number 37. Thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, they shall give the light, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. Now, it'll be just a moment before we get to the main thought here, not long here, but we're reminded that, now let me just remind you here, that in the holy place, there was absolutely no other light source. There was no natural light allowed where the candlestick was. There was no natural light allowed where the table of showbread was. There was no natural light allowed where the altar of incense was. There was no natural light. It was the light of the candlestick. This means, now get this, without the candlestick in that room, it's total darkness. You could not do the work effectively because you needed light to see what you're doing. Now get this. The light of the candlestick was absolutely necessary for the priest to do their job and do their service to God in that place. Now you say, what's the point? The point is this. God's work can only be done with God's help. Let me say that again. God's work can only be done by God's help. See, the service for God can only be carried out through the light of the candlestick. And the candlestick's a picture of who? Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? There is no service for God apart from Jesus Christ. None. You must have him to be able to serve God effectively. You know what we have a problem with today? Folks are trying to serve God without the candlestick. Folks are trying to serve God in the light of their own understanding. They're trying to serve God because that just makes sense to do it that way. Let me tell you something, friends. God's work doesn't always make sense. Amen. Sometimes he's going to bring you to a drop-off point and you think, hey, he says step off and there's nothing to step off onto. And a lot of your understanding is going to tell you, you better run from there, get away from there. When you have the candlestick, you trust God and God tells you to step out, you trust him that no matter if there's something under you or not, you're not going to fall. Amen. You can't do God's work your way. You can't do God's work naturally. It's a picture of doing the work of God through the power of the indwelling Christ, which means we are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God must do his work. Zechariah 4:2-6 says, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes of the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what the Lord's been laying on my heart lately? Boy, I'm convicted here. I mean, God's working in my heart. I'm praying that He shows me how to do this, all these kind of things. You know, there's nothing wrong with being organized. You ought to be. God is a God of organization. He's a God of decency and order. The Bible teaches that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with crossing your T and dotting your I's. There's nothing wrong with having ministries going and making sure that there's a leader in place. There's nothing wrong with all of that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But you realize that a pastor and really another human, I mean, really anybody, fathers can say this, mothers can say, husbands can say this, wives can say this. I'm applying to me as pastor of this church. God's been dealing my heart with this. Jody, don't put so much emphasis on programs. Just get on your face and beg me to bless what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have programs. That doesn't mean I'm stopping. No, we're going to increase them, God willing. We're getting ready to start a new ministry. Amen. We're getting ready to start a new one. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it needs to be organized. I'm not bashing that. But God help us not to be so focused on, oh, we got to make sure that's in place. No, when's the last time we just came together and we just got on our face and said, not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a picture here that the priest needed the light of the candlestick. We need God's help to do God's work. One man put it this way, the service of God can be performed by no light but His. Natural light cannot show us the things of God. If we try to work and walk by it, we will stumble around in the dark. As priests today, believers are to serve only in the light provided by God. If we try to carry on God's work by the light of natural reasoning, our understanding remains darkened. Our hearts are blind to the things of God, Ephesians 4:18. In the light of wisdom provided by the world, God cannot be known, 1 Corinthians 1:21. The things of God are revealed only by the divine light. The light of the candlestick revealed the table of showbread. There it is. The light of the candlestick revealed the altar of incense, which is the places of fellowship and prayer. We need the light of the candlestick to effectively serve God. Here again, listen, I know I'm repeating myself here. There's no true service for God outside of the light of the candlestick. You need to understand that. If you're serving God with your own little match, that's not impressing God. If you're trying to take a flashlight and try to figure it out on your own, that is not the way to do the work of God. God has enough light for His work. And He wants us to live in the light of His work and do His work in His light. He wants to help us do the will of God. He doesn't say, go do it. He says, let me do it through you. Do you see the difference? You know, we've made life too difficult. We've made life too hard. I'm telling you, God did not make life to say, okay, Jody, I believe I can trust you. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go and do it. Just believe in yourself. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't take the what. Just hang in there, son. You go do it. That is not how God works. God says, Jody, you can't do it. I didn't make you to do it. Do you understand that you're nothing without me? Jody, come to me, get on your face before me, and beg me to help you, and I will go do it through you. That's the work of God. The work of God is not me doing it for God, it's God doing it through me when I am yielded to Him. We need the light of the candlestick to effectively serve God. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Then we close with this. It's going to take me a little while to close, but we're going to close with this thought here. I'm talking about major point number five here, the fifth way that the candlestick pictures Christ and the church. We've seen so far that it pictures Christ in the church, Christ and the church, and that the branch's purpose was the same as the shaft, and that it was one unified candlestick, and that the shaft was more adorned than the branches, and that the priest needed the light of the candlestick to serve God. And then fifth, the branches were beaten just like the shaft was. Now, we see this in verse 31 and verse number 36. The Bible, again, gives a beautiful picture here. Now, when I was studying this out, I don't know if I ever realized this when I was just reading through it, but when I began to study it out, it comes out that the Bible teaches in these verses here that it was one beaten work of gold. It was not, okay, take so much gold and make a branch and then connect it. It wasn't that at all. The Bible says it was one beaten work of gold. That means that the workers had a piece of gold. It had to be big, friends. Hallelujah. And they hammered it out, that one piece of gold, and shaped it into this candlestick. Now, friends, we've not gotten to the workers yet. What skill God gave them. And they beat out this one candlestick. Get this, they had to beat the shaft out, and they had to beat the branches out with it. Now, what do we glean there? How can we apply that? There's two ways I'm going to give it to you. First of all, now we know that the beating of the shaft, the beating of the candlestick, when we applied it to the Lord himself, is a picture of the beating, that the hammering that God took upon Calvary and prior to Calvary, with the beatings that he took to give needed light in a dark world. But the way we can apply it to us, because we're the branches, when we apply it to us as branches and he's the vine, he's the shaft. First of all, it pictures the child of God suffering with the Lord and later being glorified. Get this, when they were hammering it out, it wasn't giving light. But when the hammering was done, it was ready to shine. Now you say, what do you mean? Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Romans 8:15 to 18 puts it this way. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know what all that means. But it sure sounds pretty good. In other words, we're heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. If so be we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified together with him. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul says, I reckon. I think he was a southerner, you know. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. By the way, let me ask you a question. Have you suffered in this life? You gone through some suffering? I look at some of the precious older folks, the precious senior saints. Hey, you had some suffering in your life? Even some of the younger people, suffering. You know what this life's full of? Suffering. It's full of it. Full of it. And here's the thing. If God tarries his coming, we're all going to suffer more. Oh, hey, don't you love me tonight? I mean, doesn't that sound great? There's more suffering in our future if God tarries his coming. But the Apostle Paul said this. We suffer in this earth. Let me tell you what I reckon. What we go through in this earth is not even worthy to be compared with what we're going to look like up there. Amen. It pictures the child of God suffering with the Lord and later being glorified. Secondly, it pictures the child of God going through hammering in order to be made into a beautiful ornament to give light and shine for the glory of God. May I say this to you? We will suffer and be glorified if we're saved. But every now and then, God brings his hammer out. I don't like God's hammer. But every now and then, he brings it out. And he takes a hammer. And he starts beating away. Last I checked, if I get hit with a hammer, it's going to hurt, friends. This is deep teaching tonight. It hurts when the hammer comes down. May I say something to you? If God never put us on the anvil, we would never shine as bright as we could. For instance, when Moses was 40 years old, he thought he could deliver his people. God couldn't use him then. He had to send the man right here who was brought up in the king's palace, schooled in the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had to put him into a lonely desert. And there he was in God's school. For 40 years, God had him on the anvil. And God was hammering Moses. But when God got through, my, how that man of God shined for the glory of God. Hey, what about folks such as Samuel, who went to anoint King David? He slew Goliath. He became the favorite of the people. And then all of a sudden he was sent into the cave of Adullam to be hammered on the anvil. His life was threatened. God was preparing him, even using that ungodliness, that Saul who was jealous of him. God was using all of that. I'm not saying God did that, but God used it to prepare, to chip away at David. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down to the image of King Nebuchadnezzar? What about Daniel, who would worship only God? As a reward of their faithfulness, they were put on the anvil. Three of them thrown in the fiery furnace, one of them thrown into the den of lions. My, after that hammer got done hitting them. My, how they shine for the glory of God. Father takes his children in his own training school. He does this often through our surroundings. When he took Jacob in his training school and he was sent to Laban, he had a hard master there. Those years with Laban were hard years. And when Jacob had learned his lesson, God sent him back home again. You say, Jody, what's the point here? The point here is this. When you find yourself being hammered, you find yourself being hammered. If you're a child of God, the Lord can use that time to make you into a beautiful branch that will shine bright for the glory of God. You may not understand the hammering. It may make no sense to you. It may be painful. It may be hard to comprehend. May be hard to understand. But your Heavenly Father is a sovereign God who can make all things work together for good to them who love Him, for them who are called according to His purpose. And when God allows a hammer to come down, whether God swings it Himself or whether He allows somebody else to swing it, in His sovereignty, somehow, some way, every time the hammer comes down, it's making you more into the branch that He's trying to make you to be. You know what some of you have come in here tonight as? A beaten work of gold. You feel hammered. You're under pain. You may not think you can take another blow of the hammer. And I'm just telling you that one way that this candlestick pictures Christ and His people is that the branches were hammered just like the shaft. And it took the hammering to make it into what it was so it could give the light that those around it needed. God hammers and allows hammering to make you into what He created you to be. May I say this as we come to the end of this? I'm trying to conclude this. What a passage of Scripture. the golden candlestick. Thank God for the candlestick. Honestly, what it means. Let us rejoice in what the candlestick stands for and all that we have as a result of it. And I close with verse number 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. The Lord ends this chapter with an admonition to make all these things as he told him to. In other words, God's work must be done God's way. Moses was not to make these things as he thought best, but rather he was to make these things as God told him to make these things. And as we conclude this chapter, this is another great lesson. That we're to live our lives in obedience to the Lord's will. We are not to do things our own way, but we're to live in obedience to his directions. And as your pastor, and I'm humbled to even say that, I mean that. I want you to know, with all these future plans and things that we're trying to do and this new ministry that's getting ready to start, it'll be in the bulletin next week, all these kind of things, as we think about all these things that are going on, I want you to know that I do not want to make one decision. I don't. I want God to show us exactly what he wants us to do. And if he will show us, I'm telling him before you, if he will show us, I want to commit myself and this church to him and tell him, if you'll show us that that's your will, by your grace, we'll do it. I mean that with every ounce of my being. If I didn't, you ought to get yourself another pastor. I want to do the will of God. Do you? You want to do the will of God? Amen. Boy, I hope you do. God has clear directions for Buffalo Ridge like he had clear directions for the making of the furnishings of the tabernacle. And let's hear what God said. See that you make it according to the pattern that was showed you. May Buffalo Ridge be the same way. Amen. The candlestick shining for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for what the candlestick means. Pray that you help us to be faithful to you and love you and trust you, believe you. Lord, it took us three messages to get through this particular sermon, but Lord, we've gleaned some things here, and I pray that you will help us to understand what you're saying. Show us what to do, and Lord, help us to understand that you are at work. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they can begin to play through softly. There's a lot that could be said when you start dealing with the candlestick. But I'm going to try to focus on the three points I brought out tonight about God's children being branches. I am going to start where the Lord had me to start, and that is this. Are you part of the candlestick? Are you a branch? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you one with Christ? Are you born again? Have you asked the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and ask him to deliver you from your sin? Well, if that's never happened to you, please, you come, let us take a Bible. We'll share with you the gospel. But tonight I preached to Christians being branches. Hey, it's a blessing to be a branch from the shaft. That's a blessing. Tonight we looked at three ways that the candlestick pictures Christ and the Christian, Christ and the church, Christ and me, Christ and you. And that is, first of all, we looked at the shaft was more adorned than the branches. You been thinking too highly of yourself lately? Have you been trying to take the place of the center shaft? Do you want people to see you more than they see Christ? Secondly, we looked that if you're going to serve God in a way that pleases him, you must have the light of God. You cannot serve God in your own light, you have none. You must serve God in the light that is Jesus Christ. You need the power of God, is what I'm saying. We need the Spirit of God filling our hearts and lives. Well, I think it'd be good for several people tonight to get on their face and say, God, give me more light. Help me be Spirit-filled. And then we concluded tonight, I know we concluded with the separate thought on following the Lord's commands, but we concluded with the branches by saying that the branches were hammered just like the shaft. Some of you come to this service tonight and you're hammered. You're being hammered out on the anvil. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now saying, just trust me. I know it hurts. Trust what I'm doing. I'm allowing this because I want you to shine bright in the future. Or I'm doing this myself. I'm hitting you myself because I'm making you into something beautiful. And I'm making so when all is said and done, you are fulfilling the purpose that I created you for, and that's to shine brightly in this lost and dying. Be honest with me tonight and say, Jody, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a beaten, hammered piece of a branch. I'm saying the hammer has been swinging recently in my life. Have you have a hammer that's been beating down on you recently? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. Well, that's a lot of hands. Yes. If you got your hands raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me. God is at work. I'm not saying that what's hammering you is of God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you serve a God that can take even that and turn it into something that makes you a brighter light for Him, shining for the glory of God. Why don't you come, get on your face, and say, God, while the hammer's swinging, help me just to trust. Why don't we do it this way? Why don't I pray? Have Brother Gary begin to sing. If you need to be saved or you just want to come and ask God to fill you fresh and new with His Spirit, to serve in the light of Jesus Christ more, or you want to come and say, God, I'm being hammered, and you know it. Help me trust that you're working on a finished product. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless now, please. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Not even going to stand. Just sing right there at your seat. But as Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, I want you to get out of your place and I want you to come to this altar. Would you do it? As he sings, come on, get up now and come now. Would you do it, please?
I want to do thy will.
You're being hammered. Come on. Come talk to God. Come talk to the Lord.
I want to do thy will.
I want to serve God in the light of God. I want to do God's work, God's way, with God's light, with the Spirit of God.
Take me,
come on.
Break me,
there's time for you.
Hold me and make me.
There's time for you.
I want to do thy will.
Let's sing that again, Brother Gary. Very appropriate at this time.
I want to do thy will. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do thy
Father, bless this service, I pray. Thank you for the candlestick. My, what a great study it's been for me personally. And I pray that you help me as a branch to shine as brightly as I possibly can, realizing that it's only if you shine through me. It's not me shining bright, it's me yielding to you and the light of God shining in me. Help this church to be the candlestick that you want us to be. Your glory and honor, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the parents of the 6th graders to the 12th graders downstairs. You are dismissed now. If you don't mind to do that, 6th grade through 12th grade, go downstairs. And some of you have been asking about a Bible reading schedule for this coming year. If you'd like to read through the Bible, I encourage you to do that. We'll have some of those schedules, God willing, on Wednesday evening, okay? On Wednesday evening. We don't have any out there right now, but I believe we have the capability of getting those here by Wednesday. We'll do everything we can to make that happen. So you can have one on this Wednesday night. Please be here Wednesday. Let me remind you about the fellowship afterwards. If you're going to stay, bring a finger food, something like that. Change your clothes if you're planning on playing. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for coming.